Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, and thank you for Al asking me to share tonight. And I just want to thank you, everyone, on the conference call that is listening tonight, and I pray all of you can get something out of the teaching. Mm-hmm. Tonight I'm going to be teaching about the renewed mind. So I know we cannot live the abundant life without renewing our mind. It's pretty much impossible. What we think determines the relationship we have with ourselves, with God, and with others. I'd like us all to go to Romans, very familiar verse, Romans 12. And in chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In the manifestation, Jeannie said, "Do not be conformed to this world." I knew that was the Father speaking to us, because he knew what was going to be shared tonight. That word transformed in Greek is metamorphosis. It is only used when there's a complete transformation of something. So if you think about the caterpillar transforming into the butterfly, I looked it up, actually, and what happens. And the caterpillar that transforms into a butterfly behaves differently, eats different food, and it looks completely different. So it is completely transformed. What we think governs what we feel, and how we feel governs how we believe. We need to be transformed. We need to let the renewed mind transform us. In psychology, there is a field of psychology called CBT, which means cognitive behavioral therapy. I think I got that from God, but anyway, what happens with that is cognitive, which means thinking and behaving, right? So the first thing they do, and this helps a lot when people are depressed or anxious, because one of the most important things with this kind of therapy is they change their thinking. You must change your thinking in order to change your behavior. And it's the same thing with God's Word. When we start thinking God's Word, we start behaving differently. We start believing. We start walking on the Word of God. Our mind is not our friend. Okay, I don't know if we know that, but our mind is not our friend. If it's left alone, it's going to go automatically to all kinds of thoughts of worry, fear, condemnation, lack, judgment, hopelessness, everything. It does never tell us something good, right? So I'd like us to go to Romans chapter 8. And in chapter 8, verse 7, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God." It's an enemy of God. "For it does not submit to God." Indeed, really, it cannot. The mind cannot submit to God because the mind is conformed to this world. The enemy works primarily on our mind to influence our belief. If it can get us to believe the lies that it speaks to us and suggests to our thoughts and our minds, we are no threat to him because we do not have the renewed mind. We do not walk on God's word. Therefore, he's got free range to do whatever he wants with our life. The business of thinking is crucial to anyone, but especially to a child of God. You don't have to go to this verse, but in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." But we can go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'd like us to go to another verse as well. This is one of the verses that I really, really think it's very important to remember all the time. And it's Proverbs 4, chapter 4, and verse 2. And it says, above all else, did everybody find it? I don't want to go too fast. Yeah. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What? Proverbs 4:2? Was that not it?
No, okay.
Maybe it was Psalm 4:2? I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, it is there. Okay, so above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What you think, what you believe, the heart is the seat of our believing. It's actually our mind, but is where we're actually believing. It's the deepest part of our mind. And we have to guard that heart. We have to guard that mind of ours. We need to be watchful. You know, what are we listening to? You know, are we listening to the news? We're getting all worried and scared, you know. Are we listening to other people, what they say? You know, or are we listening to what God says about us? You know, that means not to be conformed to this world. Because being conformed to this world is listening to everything else except what God says. What we think and what we speak shows up in our life. It always does. It's like believing equals receiving. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner or a saint, right? That's what the real world says. But what we think and what we speak will show up in our life. I had to learn this the hard way. When I first was introduced to God's Word back in a long time ago, I was battling with depression. And I met this woman, her name is Maria. She was kind of my mentor. She was amazing. Thick southern accent, but she just annoyed the hell out of me. But at the same time, I wanted to be around her because she spoke God's Word to me. She would tell me, when you go to work in the morning, I want you to speak God's Word to yourself. I want you to speak out this verse. I want you to say it over and over and over again. I said, but I don't feel like it. And she was like, I don't care if you feel like it. Just keep on doing it. So I just listened to her, and every time when I went to work in the morning, I would speak out. I would speak out, I've been delivered from the power of darkness by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I kept on doing it. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I didn't feel it at all. I still felt like I was in darkness. But I kept doing it. I kept repeating it, and even when I didn't feel it. And after a while, I noticed that the depression had lifted from me. Nothing in my life had changed. I had changed. I felt joyful and a hunger to know God's Word. You could say I was transformed by confessing God's Word because I put it in my mind and I confessed it forth. The Word of God is a weapon that defeats darkness. I'd like us to go to Romans 10. I hope I have this right. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then, faith, believing, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. By repeating the Word of God out loud while I was in the car, I was hearing it. I was hearing God's Word, and I was believing. The light of God's Word dispels all darkness. It says nothing about our feelings. God doesn't talk about, oh, well, you know, if you feel like it, go ahead and renew your mind. Says renew your mind. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and verse 17. I'll give you a minute to go there. Oh, Proverbs 4:22. Okay. All right, so Ephesians 6 and verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So where are we putting the helmet of salvation? We're putting it on our head. We have to put God's Word on our head, Word of salvation. What have we been given? We are righteous. We have been redeemed. We have no condemnation. When we come to God, we come with no sense of condemnation or fear. We put that in our mind, and then we use the sword of the Spirit to fight the battle, which is the Word of God, the written Word of God. The spiritual battle is fought in our minds. Jesus defeated the devil not by arguing with him, but by responding to his temptations with, "It is written." Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. And verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We decide. We decide what we're going to think. We are the ones that are going to take those thoughts and say, no, no, not true. Get aside. We are the ones. We are going to think what God says, or we're going to think what the world says. An example would be that if people come to you and say, oh, you know, God is not going to listen to your prayer because you've done this, this, and this, and, you know, and you're not praying enough, or you're not reading the Word enough, or you're not doing this enough, or God is going to punish you because, you know, you did this, you did this, and that. No, that's not true. That's not God's Word. So casting down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let's go to James 1, chapter 1, and verse 17. God is good, right? God is always good. And all the time, God is good. So James 1, 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God doesn't change. He promised us that he's always the same. Jesus Christ says he's always the same. People, situations, seasons of our life, they change, like the song is saying. But God stays the same. He never changes. And he likes us to depend on him. We can go to him and talk with him. We can have a relationship with God, depending on what we're thinking in our mind. But if we feel condemned, if we don't feel good enough to go to God, then we're not going to do it. We're going to hide from him. But when we think the thoughts of God, we'll go to God. And when we have issues that are hard for us to overcome, he will help us. This is my favorite verse of all time. Been my favorite verse for many, many years, and every time I get off course, I remember this verse. And it's in Proverbs 3, very familiar verse also, and it's verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6, and verse 5 and 6, sorry. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall absolutely direct your path. This life can be challenging. We can't do it alone, and God wants us to depend on him. I'd like us to go to 1 Peter, chapter 5, and verse 7. I love this verse because it shows the heart of the Father. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7, give all your worries to him. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, God cares for us so much. He loves us so much, but he loves us specifically, each one of us. You know, people say, yeah, I know, God loves us, you know. God loves us all. But no, he loves us specifically, each one of us. He knows each one of us intimately and accepts us as we are. So to close, I'd like to go to another familiar verse, Philippians 4, 8, chapter 4 and verse 8. And it reads, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When we feel sad, anxious, discouraged, those days do come for everyone, we can take an inventory. What have we been thinking, you know, for a day, a week, a month? What have we been thinking? Our thoughts are always at the origin of our mood. What helps me renew my mind is gratitude. Feeling gratitude helps me to really think about God's word and what he has done for me. It shifts my mind to think the right thoughts. Like he said, whatever is right, it shifts my mind to think those right thoughts and to stay peaceful. I'd like us to go to one more verse, and it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Everyone there? 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. When I'm grateful, I keep my mind on the thoughts of God and what he wants me to think. And what does it do? It proves the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you very much, everyone. Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you have done for us, Father, and how you love us and how you make sure that we are in fellowship with one another, Father, so that we can remind one another of your word. Father, and we thank you for just taking care of everyone here tonight and on the conference call, God, for healing to take place for each one, for anything that they need, Father, and all of their needs, because you are the one that supplies all of our needs, Father. We thank you for that, and we lift everything to you and give it to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.